We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Let's sing that again.
Death could not, and death could not hold you. The veil torn before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. Before you were raised to life again.
You have no rival,
and you have no rival, and you have no equal. And now and forever, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. 'Cause there is power in the name of Jesus.
Sing it with me.
And there is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power,
and there is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain. Break
there's every an army chain. Rising up.
To break every chain.
There's an army.
There's an army rising up.
And we're on the winning side.
There's an army rising up.
Oh, there's an army.
There's an army rising up. To break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain.
To break every chain.
Every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
'Cause you have no rival,
and you have no equal, and now and forever, God, you reign.
Yours is the kingdom,
yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of
Let's sing
Jesus.
That again. What a powerful,
what a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King.
He rose from the dead.
What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of
what a powerful
Jesus.
Name.
And what a powerful name it is, the name of
what a powerful
Jesus. And what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Her name is Mary Magdalene, and it was early in the morning. Mary was remembering that she was once controlled by seven demons. She was once a woman of the evening, but it was Resurrection Sunday morning, and she didn't know where her Lord was. The angel says, "He is not here, he's risen. He is not here, he's risen." And then she realized where her Lord was when he called her name. He said, "Mary," and she knew that was her Lord. Lord Jesus, there are some here today that are just like Mary. I said, "You know, I don't even know why I'm here in church. I'm a sinner." Can I tell you, they're in good company, because we're all sinners saved by grace. And Lord, it's our prayer today that we won't just have a service, but that there'll be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman today that will realize he's no longer in that grave, but he's risen, and he can rise in there and your hearts too. If you're lost today, I pray that this would be the day that you would surrender to Jesus. This is where you belong. You didn't come here on your own. You came here because God has called you to be here at such a time as this. So, Lord God, for those of us that know you, we thank you, Lord God, that you are our risen Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we're no longer lost, but we're found. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. Christ has risen. Christ has risen. Christ has risen. Would you follow along as we read the verses from Luke chapter 24, verses 2 through 8. Follow along as I read. They found the entrance of the stone rolled away from the tomb. So they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then out of nowhere, it seemed, two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He is not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on the cross, and in 3 days raise up." Then they remembered Jesus' words. If you remember, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, please hear this. You are here on Resurrection Sunday. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of you are here and you're going, "I don't belong here. The roof's going to fall and we got reinforcements in the roof." Amen. It didn't fall when I came in. It ain't going to fall when you came in. Give somebody a high five and say, "I'm glad you're here in the house of the Lord," and you may be seated.
Yes, good morning, good morning. This one's older than I am, but it's up to date as it'll ever be. So you sing with me, "Because He is Risen." Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death? Where, O death, is now thy sting? I just like that. I got to read it, and then we'll get the last verse. We don't talk like this anymore, but this is right, isn't it? Dying once, he all doth save. Say that with me. Dying all he once doth save. He doth save. Last verse, okay? Love's redeeming work is done. Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Death forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ hath opened. Amen? Amen. You just can't wait, can you? It's tomorrow. Oh, I'd say, okay. One more. One more. I didn't choose this song, but I'm a Gaither man. One of Bill's best ones. So at any time, if you can't stand to sit any longer, you know, Pastor Stephen says here, you can stand whenever you want, and you can sit wherever you want. We're in the presence of God, but I'm glad, because he lives. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died. He bled and died to buy my empty grave. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. You glad he lives today? In my heart, I am too. And I'm going to live forever because of what he's done for me. And then one day, I'll cross the river. I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's fight. No war with pain. No more pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. One more time, Paul. Because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen.
Amen, church. Happy Easter. You may be seated. So, I don't know whose idea it was to give the very pregnant lady a microphone on the most emotional day of the year, so I'm going to try to get through this without choking up. This morning I was reflecting on the first time in Scripture that we see a tithe being brought before the Lord. I'm a firm believer that if you want to know the original intention of something, to go back to where we first see it. And in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham goes before the prophet of the Lord, and the prophet blesses him. And our verse says, just very plainly, that the prophet blessed him, then Abraham gave 10% of everything he had. The Lord didn't ask Abraham for 10%. The first tithe that we see in Scripture was a response to what the Lord had given Abraham. Amen. And this morning on Easter, as we reflect on what the Lord has given us through salvation, we sang about his power, that he breaks every chain. Through the power of the cross this morning, if you would allow your offerings to be a response of gratefulness to the Lord for everything that he has done for you, as you reflect this Easter on the power and the majesty of the cross. Ushers, if you would come forward and prepare to receive our tithes and offerings. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much for the cross. God, but more than for your death on the cross, we praise you and we thank you because you rose again. Because you defeated death and sin. We know that you can defeat death and sin in our lives because we have seen it and we have experienced it and you've promised it. So we thank you, Jesus. And this morning as we receive our tithes and offerings, we offer them to you with hearts of gratitude in response to everything that you have done and everything that you will do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
The name of Jesus is more powerful than any other name. He is my Savior, my Redeemer, and my King.
The crowds have lined the narrow street to see this man from Galilee. He's just a carpenter.
There is power. I'm going to read out of John 11:25. It says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? We're going to sing Resurrecting together. Feel free to stand and worship with us as we continue in worship. Worship him, church. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. You are risen Savior. You broke the power over sin. God, we worship your name this morning.
Your name is victory.
All praise.
shepherd's watch in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the
Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. The Bible says it's the same Spirit, literally, that was in Jesus, that raised him from the dead, that is in us. And I call it out in every person in this room. They would say, well, I don't have a spirit inside me. I don't have the Holy Spirit. You were created in God's image. Therefore, you have a spirit inside you. It just depends on whether it's alive or whether it's asleep. And Lord, we say, wake up. Wake up to our spirits. Lord, we say thank you for the power that you've given us. But we don't rejoice in the power that we have. We rejoice that you are the King and you are alive today. We give you praise. Would you give him praise today in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. Thank you, folks. I appreciate it. This is a good day, my favorite day, Easter Sunday. Back in the day, we used to say, this doesn't rhyme, Happy Easter. We used to say, God, he is risen. And then the people said, he is risen indeed. And Brother Chappie did it. And half of you did and half of you didn't because you didn't grow up in church. But I'm going to say he is risen. And maybe you've never said the word indeed in your life. But today you could say indeed. Indeed, okay? You're going to say he is risen indeed, okay? He is risen. I am so, amen. That is awesome. I am so glad that there's a lot of traditions on Easter time. In my family, yes, we do celebrate the Easter Bunny, but there's another tradition, and there's some of these songs that we sing today. I figure, you know, you sing them maybe once a year. This is, you got to do them, and I sure appreciate Ron and Paul, you guys playing those songs. It brought me back. Christ, the Lord is risen today. And then the songs of today, I guess maybe they're not today, they're maybe like last year or 2 years ago, I don't know, but Resurrecting, I mean, I love that song, and it just gets me going. I got saved about 1 minute ago right here singing that song. I hope you did too. I love the traditions, but thankfully they're not traditionalism. Ism messes up things. It's the schism in the church. Ism, but it's tradition is good because tradition helps us remember what Jesus did for us. And so I enjoyed that very much. We're going to talk about something today. It's found in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to look at the Matthew one, Matthew 28. And if you have your Bible, great. If you don't, it'll be on the screen in a little bit. If you're new with us or visiting as a guest today, we're glad to have you. I know what it's like to be at church your first time, and maybe you'll never come back or whatever, but we're still glad you're here. We're still glad you made it to church today. It's a good place to be on Jesus. I would say it's his like second birthday. It's a great day. It's good. I'm glad you're here. If you didn't get a bulletin today, there's all kinds of stuff. And ushers, would you grab some bulletins, and if there's some around, and just walk down the aisle And everybody's got a $10 bill in each of the bulletins, so just raise your hand if you didn't get a bulletin, and they're going to pass them to you. Here they come. The reason I do this is because this is an easier way than going through the bulletin. It's better just to read it. If you could just tell me, usher, if it's don't have them, or if we, or maybe they're, maybe we're out. Grab one when you leave them. You'll need them for a fan today. That's what I was going to say. You took my joke. It's a great day for the air conditioner not to work very well, but I feel like I'm back at home at Andre Crouch's church. That's where I used to go in California, that they all had their fans out, and I don't see a lot of Easter hats in the room, but you could have worn an Easter hat today. If you're visiting with us, we want to make sure that you make yourself at home with us. I'm reading this. Feel free to get a coffee at any time during the service or some ice to put on your back. We are not a stuffy church. Our motto is welcome home, and it's come to be known as our kind of our slogan or whatever would be, we have fun and we are family and we love Jesus. That's what we are. That's it. And so I want you to relax with us. My name is Stephen. My wife is Cynthia right here. We've been here for a few years and lead pastors here. And we both grew up in church. That's my point I want to make. We both grew up in church, yet we still like church. We still love church. We still are Christians. And that can be unusual in the day and age we live in. But my mom and dad were pastors, and I've celebrated 45 Easters at church. That shows you how old I am. And I celebrated one Easter at Angel Stadium when the Jonas Brothers were there. So, and they were singing worship songs. So there it is. So if you do the math, many here have had undue bad experiences with church. Maybe some of you that have been here for a long time just bring it up. It's unfortunate, and it's too bad. It's probably because of church people that people have a problem with church. And I think that people would love Jesus more if it wasn't for some church people. But I hope that you and I that are in this room aren't those kind of people, because we're supposed to be loving. And you might even say, I'm not a church person at all, and I don't plan to be. You're in the right boat, because we're all sinners. We're all messed up, and we all need Jesus, and we all need help, and we're all in this together. Those around you also believe that God is working a process in their lives. I want to remind you, whether you've been in church forever or just today, we're not a product, thankfully. We're a process. If you're a product, then I'd like you to come up here and testify and tell us how it's done. We are all in process and finding ourselves, but mainly finding who we really are in Jesus. And none of us are perfect, and we need forgiveness, and that's why Easter's so great. Amen. Amen. I said that Cynthia and I grew up in church, and we've had some great experiences. Although you would crack up at some of the Easter outfits that I wore myself. I wasn't around when Cynthia lived in California. I lived in Missouri, and I swear to her that the styles were the same. 1985 was 1985 everywhere, but she says it was not. And in a minute, I'm going to show you a picture of me in 1985. But you remember that year, some of you, how many were around in 1985? New Coke, Michael Jackson, number one. Yes, Back to the Future. It was a good time. Here's a picture of me around there in 85, 86, 87. Yes, isn't that awesome? Yes, you can take it off the screen. Yes, put it away. That year on Easter Sunday around 1986, my mom thought it would be good that I wear a white cowboy hat and white matching boots. It was a good look for me. I really did. Go figure. But I say that to say I look back on my childhood and Easter, and I can happily say, Jesus, not forget church for a minute, church too, but Jesus became very real to me very, very young. I remember seeing the Easter plays and them acting out Jesus coming out of the tomb and Jesus on the cross and the people that would get prayed for and miracles would happen and the way that people worship God. We were at a Pentecostal church, and you think you're Pentecostal now. We used to really be Pentecostal back in the day. And it touched me. It changed me. it caused me to know Jesus is real at a young age. I never left him. I've served him my whole life. And there might be some today that had a similar experience, and others if you didn't. Maybe Easter today will remind you why you came back to Jesus or back to church, because Easter is all about new life. It's all about a new start. It's all about a new morning. It's all about a new singing, a new song with your life. It's not about looking back and feeling guilty and regretting. It's all about looking forward and seeing what Jesus has done for us. So I want to keep this very simple today. We're going to, I want you to bow your heads with me and pray. But before I do, the title of my message is The Trade of the Centuries, if you're taking notes. And I want to be very simple today, yet with the most profound truth you will ever hear, and that is this. Jesus died, my son Jaden, he's 5 years old, and we're getting over that part. He keeps saying, Jesus died, and I'm like, yes, Jesus died. That is very important that you know. But Jesus rose from the dead. This is the most profound truth you'll ever hear. You ready? Jesus rose from the dead so that you can have life, so you can have full life, so you can have abundant life. That's it. Lord, we thank you for this time together, these few minutes we share before we close today and sing my second favorite song at Easter time. And we say that would you anoint our minds, every ear in this room, that they would hear from you, not hear from me, that they would hear something new. This story is as old as eternity, but Lord, I pray that it would become fresh and new to our spirits, that you would teach us something today in Jesus' name, that you would inspire us in Jesus' name. I want to ask you guys a question. How many have ever regretted something you did in your life? No one, just a few. Well, I have many things I've regretted, and this is not a spiritual one, but some of you have asked me about this, and I said, I'll save this. I'll tell it another time, because I told it one time a long time ago of something I probably regret, one of the worst things I regret this year, and it has to do with my marriage. No, it doesn't have anything to do with my marriage. It does have to do with my son. His name is Jaden. He's got Down syndrome. He's 5, and he likes to go pee a lot. And, I mean, he'll go like 3 times an hour. And I don't know, I was thinking, how could I say that in a nicer way? But I don't even like saying that word. But it is the word. It's real. It's real. And we'll go on trips. And I found a way so that if we're going on a 5-hour trip, we don't have to stop 14 times. We get a bottle and we teach him to go pee in. I said it again, the word, in pee in a bottle. And so he's learned that. He's learned that that's okay. And we say, good job when he does it on the trip. So I keep a bottle of water by my sink in my bathroom to take vitamins at nighttime. And they're big, huge vitamins. And I'm just like, I want to get them down. And it was dark that evening. And I came in and grabbed the vitamins, put them in my mouth, and guzzle the water, go, 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 go. And immediately, the weirdest thing happened. I just knew. It just dawned on me. I've never drank pee before, but I knew. This is pee. It just all it just flashed through. The car rides, Jaden poured out the water, and there's the bath. Oh, and I'm like trying with everything I can to get it out of my throat, and it's already back down in here, and I'm trying to spit it out, and I did, and that was one of the biggest things I regret in life. I want to tell you that it doesn't actually taste like super bad. It really didn't. And I won't go there anymore, and I won't try it again, but it really was. It was kind of like, no, okay, I can understand in Survivor when they did that one time. I could figure it out. But the moral of the story, I guess, is to not have kids or, no, don't do that. Moral of the story is to turn on the light, right? Just turn on the light when you go in the bathroom. Be careful. I can relate everything to Jesus because Jesus is the light. And the Bible says that it is a light unto our path. And so we're going to read something. And I pray that these words will put light on your path so that you don't do something stupid as well. Is that good? Matthew 28, It's going to be on the screen. It's in the NIV version this time. And it says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, very soon after Passover, which we celebrate in our day this Saturday, I believe. Would that be officially Saturday? We celebrate on Friday. But it was Friday. But we're going to celebrate. Oh, was it? We really still celebrate on Friday. But we are celebrating here next Saturday at the church. If you'd like to come celebrate Passover with the women, just ladies are allowed to come. If you're a man, you'll have to get saved another time. But Sina's going to lead that. She's a master teacher in the Passover. Is it also called the Seder? Could you also call it the Seder dinner? So come at 10. I should know this. Sign up in the back at 10 a.m. You like the way I put that in? After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, you wish they had another name, but they didn't have a last name, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of them that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just exactly as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his friends he is risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away, afraid, yet filled with joy. I feel like that's how we do when we see Jesus and we know Jesus. We're afraid, but we're filled with joy because we know we're doing the right thing. The man, and then they ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." It's an awesome story. You can read it in all four Gospels, different point of views. One point of view, one thing that I liked from what Chappie said this morning as he read it in Luke 24:5, it said that one of the angels said to the woman, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Or if you said it real plainly in the Message version, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery?" And I think that's the question I want to leave you with today. Stay with me. And that is this: why do we look for Jesus among the dead? We've been in a collection of talks called Jesus Interrupted, and we kind of figured out that Jesus is never interrupted. He's never interrupted by us. The only interruption is Jesus interrupting me and you. And I believe that he does that a lot because he needs to just kind of, I won't do it to Cynthia, but I'll do it to my own daughter. He'll shake us and he'll say, "Hey, I'm talking to you." And I think Jesus might interrupt someone today in your journey and say, "What are you looking for? You're looking in pursuits. You're looking in success. You're looking in friends. You're looking in money. You're looking in drugs or you name it, right? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what they blamed us for as teenagers. Those places will not get you what you need. Those places will only leave you feeling like you looked in a cemetery. If we use the analogy of an ocean, our lives is an ocean. We might look at our lives and say we're doing fine, we're on the ocean, but God might look at your life. Here it is. He's interrupting you right now. Just this, if you need to cool off, but we're almost out of here, but God wants to talk to you. He might look at you right now and say, "Yes, you're in the ocean, but you are in deep. You are in over your head. I can see that your sail has ripped apart. I can see that you have no life raft. I can see that there is a storm coming, and you just went through another storm, and you don't know where to look. You are looking for a lifeguard, and I am what you need. Yet you're looking around for something that is not there. You're looking for the living among the dead." Jesus, amen. It wasn't like yesterday. It was like 10 years ago, but still. Jesus wants to do the same for us. Putting what God did in the simplest terms, okay, I'm going to do this for you because I'm very complicated, but you might be simple. No, because I'm very simple. In the simplest terms, putting what God did in the simplest terms, I will tell you, God made the trade of the centuries for us. I like sports. I don't know if you like them or not, but you'll know the name that I'm going to talk about in a second, whether you like sports or not. I kind of like NBA. I'm slowly getting, I was enchanted, but then disenchanted right away by just the way they are. Because they're stars, but they think they're movie stars, and they're starting to get these big, like movie deals even. I mean, book deals, shoe deals. And if I was them, I would take them too. So I guess I'm not, I would do the same. But I'm getting disenchanted. I watch them, I'm like, I'll take college basketball any day. But there was one trade that happened before egos were on the scene and before people made lots of money. Well, they made lots of money, but not lots and lots and lots and lots of money like they do now. It was a trade. It was went down in Wikipedia, anyways, as the worst trade in NBA history. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard of a guy named Elmore Smith. You probably haven't. You probably never heard of Dave Myers either, but these two guys left the Lakers, the L.A. Lakers, the movie stars at the time, and went to the Milwaukee Bucks for a lesser-known player. This player ended up being for the L.A. Lakers, like, amazing. They won 5 championships. He became the all-time scoring leader. He won more MVPs than anyone ever did and probably ever will. And his name is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You're probably like, oh, yeah, I don't know anything about basketball, but I've heard of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? The best trade in the world for the Lakers, the worst trade for the Milwaukee Bucks. But nothing compares to the trade of the centuries. Okay, you're comparing NBA with God. No, I'm not comparing it. I'm just bringing it around. It was a trade that happened for you and for me, putting Christ, following Christ in the simplest terms. God traded his son to the cross, to the grave, for me. He traded it for me. He let him die for me. There's a Bible verse that says Romans chapter 5, verse 8. I might read it or I might just quote it. If we have it on the screen, we'll quote it. I'll read it. But there it is. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And it says something that sounds complicated, but it really isn't. It just says that you're messed up, and God didn't wait to get you cleaned up before he helped you. He helped us before. He made the trade before for our sins, for our guilt, for our shame. He made the trade before. And then all we have to do is accept it. It says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this present tense. While we were still sinners. Well, I'm not a sinner anymore. Yes, I am. So are you. While we were still sinners, Christ died for you. He didn't wait. He died for you. Well, that's so simple. Why would you say that? I know that. Yes, we know it, but do we thank him? Are we thankful for the way we live? That while we still sin, he still loves us and he died. And what's more, he let his son die for us. Here's the thing. Easter is a very pivotal day, very important day. What we're celebrating today is very important. It's very important because, or important, however you say it, it's important because not only did he die on the cross. Oh, I've heard this. I've heard this. Yes, you've heard it, but just say amen anyways. Not only did he die on the cross for your sins, amen, but while he died, I don't know if it was Saturday, I don't know if it was Friday night, I don't know if it was early Sunday morning, he went and he got the keys. The Bible talks about this. He got these keys, the key that opens death. He got the keys that opens sin, and he took them. He took them from hell. It says he literally went into hell, got these keys. I'm not going to preach like devil had the keys. I don't know if he had them or if they're just sitting there. He took them. And he came back, and the way that he broke that was that he came back alive. and he broke the power of sin. He broke the power of death. Well, I'm not sure if I believe that or not. Well, you can decide if you believe it or not. I happen to believe it. And I believe that because of that, I have forgiveness of my sins. He made the trade, and all I had to do was say, oh, I agree with this trade. I don't know if I'm the commissioner or what, but I agree with this trade. I will take this. I will accept this. I will believe that you did this for me. But what do I have to do? What do you want me to do? And God says, no, I made the trade. It's over. You don't have to do anything. You just believe. That's all I do. Do I have to work at it? It might take some work, but really all you have to do is believe. Bethany quoted today in John chapter 11. It says that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. When we die, we have eternal life with him. And I'm closing. Worship team, you can come back up. When we die, we have eternal life with him. That is great. I don't know if Jesus is going to come back before I die. That would be great, too. That would still call him the resurrection and the life, because I will be resurrected into heaven at some point. Maybe it'll be before I die. They told me as a 13-year-old, he's coming back before your day is over. And I was like, I got to find a girlfriend. I got to kiss a girl. I got to find a wife. And I was going through this. I was thinking it was going to happen the other day. My daughter said, I heard at school that Jesus is coming back before the end of my time. And I said, thank you for schools that talk about this. And she goes, I don't know if he's going to. Is he going to come? And I said, yeah, probably he'll come before you die, because he's coming soon. Well, we don't know. The point I want to make is that whether it's your resurrection happens when you die, or whether it's happening right now as you live, Jesus is the life. And this simple statement I said earlier is what Easter is all about. Jesus died, but then he raised from the dead so that we can have life. Life to the fullest, full of joy. It's not just, oh, when I die, this will be my insurance policy. No, it's about right now. That's what I found as probably an 8-year-old, that I accepted Jesus, and then I began to live from 8 to 46, a life full, a life wonderful, a life full of joy, peace, happiness. Yeah, happiness too. That it's not a Christian word, but it is. I've been happy. And yes, people have died in my life. Yes, people have been sick in my life. And yes, God has not answered some of my prayers the way that I expected. I'm like, what's going on here? I don't get it. But all the way through it, I have experienced life. And life to the fullest. And I want to ask you to do something right now. Oh, here it comes. That's what they do at church, the altar call. Well, it's kind of an altar call, but it's kind of just like a call from Jesus to say, I'm interrupting you for a minute. Whether you've served me for 10 minutes or 10 years or 10 days, I want to grab a hold of you and I want to interrupt you. And I want to see where you're at with me. Would you bow your heads? And I ask you, Holy Spirit, would you interrupt us in this room today? Take a moment just to hear what God would say, what the Holy Spirit would say. Would you just interrupt us in this room today? Would you interrupt every man and woman, guy and girl, every kid, every youth, every adult? Would you not let us take for granted Easter Sunday? Oh, I've served him. I know it. No. Would you not take it for granted for a minute and let the Holy Spirit interrupt you and speak to you and remind you how real he is? Remind you what Jesus did for you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Set your mind at ease. We're out of here in probably 5-7 minutes. Don't miss this moment right now. God is interrupting someone's life. He wants to speak to you. He wants to say, why are you looking for me? among the dead. Because I am not there. I am alive. I have risen. I am alive, and I want to be alive in you. My spirit is in you. I want it to raise up. I want you to experience full, abundant life. I want you to experience a resurrection life, a life every day of amazing grace, amazing freedom. I want you to trade, just give it up. Trade your guilt, trade your shame, trade your doubt, trade your fear, trade your insecurity. I'm not done. I'm speaking to someone. Trade your insecurity to me. Trade your questions to me. Trade your hurt to me. Trade your bitterness to me. I will interrupt your bitterness and I will replace it with peace. I will interrupt your shame and I will replace it with forgiveness. I will interrupt your addiction and replace it with freedom. We sing about that a lot in our church, setting the captives free, because that makes us happy that we can have freedom. And Jesus said something that seems like he repeated himself. He said, "It was for freedom that I set you free. It was for freedom that I set you free." In other words, like we would tell our kids, it was for freedom that I set you free. So why don't you do what I did for you and experience it? Live under my household. Live under the love I have for you. I did it out of love. I had you out of love. I birthed you out of love. And I still love you. Jesus would say it is for freedom. You're set free. Why are you walking in bondage? There's no reason for it. Would you stand with me? I like that song, Amy. I like that song. She's singing another song than they're singing, but it's good. I like it. Freedom. The faith you extend to Jesus today is where we're going to sing a song. We're going to close. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today. I'm not going to ask you to fill out a card to say, "I accepted Jesus." But all of us need a recommitment to Jesus. All of us need to renew our love for him and say, "We're so thankful for what you've done for us." And I promise you, the faith you extend to Jesus today will be the best decision you ever make. Let's worship him together, and then I'm going to close. And then I'll have you come up after that.
The moon and stars, they wept. Morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him.
Ask them, can I sing with you? And they'd say, no, I can't. They don't give me a mic for that part. But I love that song. Do you love that song? And the last thing I wanted to say, come on up, Pastor Thomas, is that if you are still looking and you have not found Jesus, he has time for you. And our goal, whether you find this church or whether you please find another one, because I wouldn't have been able to serve Jesus my whole life without being in church. But whether you find this one or another one, know that he has time for you and that he just want. We just hope that you get a couple steps closer to him today. And if you've served him for a long time and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a believer, you are a Christian, and you are going to heaven, then you walk out those doors today and you let people know through the smile that you have, through your life, through the abundance that's inside of you, let it come out and help other people come alive too. Amen. He is risen.
Amen. Can we just give God some praise for what he did for us? Come on now. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are, God. Lord, I thank you that you loved us enough, God. Lord, that you died on the cross with us in mind, God. And Lord, that you didn't just stay dead, Lord, but you rose again, God. And Lord, I just thank you and we praise you today. Lord, that resurrecting power doesn't wear off, God. Lord, that wasn't just for that time, God, for those disciples and the apostles, Lord, but that resurrecting power is for us today as well, God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we can walk in that truth every day of our life, God. Lord, I love what Pastor Stephen said, is that you died to bring us life, God. Lord, life in every area of our life, God. Lord, in those dreams, Lord, that we thought were dead, God. Lord, I just pray for life to flow out of us again, God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God. Amen. If you guys are a guest this morning, before you guys leave, if you want to make your way to the table, just right out front there and fill out a card We have a free gift for you, quite possibly the greatest treat ever made. We got a box of Peeps with your name on it, so make sure you grab one of those. So God bless, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.